Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go. Hour three, Carter Bryant coming up in 10 minutes. We'll talk SEC scheduling. We'll talk LSU as they get ready for Georgia. Also, second half of the hour, Bobby Hebert, Drew Brees, quarterback to quarterback. We'll replay that for you today. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll, which Saints offense was better, the 2011 offense or this year's offense? That's online at WWL.com or the radio.com app. Here's a text from the 504. Seth, you might be right about the offense, how prolific compared to any other Saints team. There's a few reasons why you might turn out to be right. I'll give you one reason. Right now, the rules every year more and more gives the advantage to the offense. Indeed, there's no doubt about that. Statistically, wow, let me get that out. Statistically, you're right. Just look at the numbers across the NFL right now. It's absurd. Let's go around the SEC, though, right now. It is a relatively mundane week across the SEC, except for one big game. As you look ahead to the conference's games this weekend, the SEC gonna start separating the chaff from the wheat here a little bit this week when current conference and playoff contenders LSU and Georgia gonna meet this Saturday. Should be a sultry Saturday afternoon in Death Valley. The Tigers are 5-1. They're going to try to rebound from their first defeat of the season last week on the road in the Swamp, while Georgia trying to maintain pace with the favorites in a very, very top-heavy race towards the college football playoff. I don't know if we've had as top-heavy of a race since this new system has been implemented. There are some serious favorites, and there's not many other teams right there in that group. We also have one middle-tier class, Texas A&M and South Carolina. We'll get to that in just a little bit. I will say this. The SEC West continues to be the best division in college football. Five teams ranked in the AP Top 25. Six teams with at least four wins in the SEC West. The self-cannibalizing began last week for the conference, and it's going to continue for the next month or so through Thanksgiving. So in the SEC West, Alabama, number one team in the nation, 6-0, 3-0 in the conference. To say Alabama's had a cupcake schedule, though, it's kind of an offense to cupcakes. The analysts saying this might be one of the greatest college football teams ever, they may be right. But if that's the case, it would be great to see them against more than Arkansas State, ULL, the Citadel, and a terrible Louisville team in the non-conference. Beat Arkansas last week. This week, they're going to beat Missouri. There you go. LSU second in the West, 13th in the nation. Tigers finally a little reversion to expectations in their loss to Florida, suspect offensive line play, complete lack of pass rush, struggles from Joe Burrow. Still, all you LSU fans out there, if I asked you a couple of months ago if you'd be happy with a 5-1 Tigers team entering Georgia week, you'd probably have nodded, smiled, and said yes. So, loss at Florida last week, 27-19 this week. Against Georgia at home, 7.5-point dogs. I've got LSU against the spread in this one. Let's go Tigers. Texas A&M, 4-2, 2-1 on the SEC, 22nd-ranked team in the country. The Fighting Jimbos escaped Kentucky somehow in overtime last week and got the cover. Thank you for that. Somehow, though, they've still been outscored in conference play this season. They're surprising, perhaps, maybe surprising, road favorite against South Carolina. The first of three straight contests, by the way, for the Aggies away from the 12th man. So Kentucky last week on the road at South Carolina this week. Mississippi State, 24th in the country, 1-2 in the SEC, though, 4-2 overall. Just when it looked like the Bulldogs season was heading towards full collapse. Wow, what a week last week against Auburn, 23-9. Bye week this week before the test against LSU. Auburn's 21st in the nation, 4-2 overall, 1-2 in the SEC. Has there been any coach in the country that has put on, then off, then back on again the hot seat over the last few years than Gus Malzahn? Whispers around War Eagle show the natives are restless. Once again, see what happens. Ole Miss, 4-2, 1-2 in the SEC. Beats UL Monroe last week, 70-21. They get Arkansas this week, and Arkansas 1-5, 0-3 in the SEC. I don't think we've seen a worse Power 5 team since Tyrone Willingham's 0-12 Washington team in 2008. It's that bag in Arkansas. In the SEC East, Georgia, number two in the country, still undefeated, 6-0, 4-0 in conference. Growing number of people who think this Georgia team, though, isn't quite as good as people think. I'm not one of them. I think they're pretty dang good. We'll see just how good they are this week in Tiger Stadium. Beat Vandy last week, LSU this week. How about Kentucky? 5-1 overall. Yeah, they just lost to Texas A&M, 18th in the country, 3-1 in SEC. One of the feel-good stories in all of college football. They are that overtime away from being a top 10 team, and we would not believe we would say this, and we were close. They would have been a legitimate playoff contender. Well, they're done in that race anyways by the Fighting Jimbos and the 12th man. Get an extra week to think about it. They're on a bye. Number 14, Florida. 5-1 now, 3-1 in the SEC with their early season loss to Kentucky looking ever more understandable here. The Gators are once again cemented in their usual place as East Division contenders. Some fans already clearing space, I guess, for Dan Mullen's statue out there. Beat LSU last week. This week at Vandy. Watch out for that one. South Carolina, 3-2, 2-2 in the SEC. Gamecocks held on for dear life against Mizzou last week and probably stopped more Fire Muschamp websites from popping up. I think people in South Carolina missing the old ball coach here a little bit. Beat Missouri 37-35 last week. They get A&M this week. Mizzou, 0-2 in the SEC, 3-2 overall. The bad news, yeah, Tigers squandered that game against South Carolina last week, I guess. The good news, they get the obligatory week of free publicity on their way to the Alabama Slaughterhouse. That's where they're headed. Vandy, 3-3, 0-2 in the SEC. Not that long ago, Vandy was 2-0 and 5 points away from stunning Notre Dame. Now, they got to salvage their season. Got beat up by Georgia last week, 41-13. They are home against Florida this week. And finally, Tennessee, 2-3, 0-2 in the SEC. How many people think Phil Fulmer is still secretly toasting his ego with a nice Tennessee whiskey after every Volunteers loss? That's around the SEC. We'll take a break when we come back. Carter Bryant coming on in to talk LSU, LSU, Georgia, and all things SEC right here on The Last Lap. Talking some college football here. Just went around the SEC. That'll be up in the podcast in just a little bit. Let's welcome in Carter Bryant at Carter the Power, host of the Carter Bryant Show on 107.1 FM, The Fan in South Arkansas, 1400 AM also, and a comedian. Carter, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on, Seth? I know we're talking college football, but as you know, I'm a big-time Saints fan, and I'm still in disbelief that in front of millions of people, our dear beloved Drew Brees was handed something of less value and dignity than a Waffle House menu. So I deeply appreciate the NFL for showing some serious respect to one of its best players and ambassadors. So I wasn't angry about that at all.
Are you talking about that flimsy piece of Little League laminated, I don't know what that was, certificate they handed him?
Yeah, that was the most embarrassing thing. And, you know, I was like so happy. I'm like a little kid when it comes to Drew Brees. And I was just so happy that that moment happened. And then when they handed him that, I just can't think of one moment that has ever been diluted by anything like that. I can imagine game six, 1998, Michael Jordan hits the big shot, and here comes David Stern. Here you go, Michael Jordan. Here is a yo-yo for your efforts. I mean, that's basically what we saw. I mean, I'm still blown away. But anyway, college football, go on ahead.
Yeah, it was, I guess, comedy all around, and the clowns on the NFL Network is another story we've been talking about for the last couple of days here. You know, Carter, I wrote a nice little tidy 1,652 words, I guess, earlier today on this ridiculous SEC scheduling system. I know you've been talking about it long before I was. You've been on this train for years now. How bad is the SEC football schedule, man?
Well, let's start with a guy that used to hammer this point home, and his name is Les Miles. And people forget about Les. He was a big vocal guy that came out against this. And for those that don't know, it's simple. The SEC has the worst, and I mean it, and I really do mean it, it is the worst craziest, nonsensical scheduling format we have ever seen in sports. You have 14 teams. You have more teams than any other conference. Yet you play one fewer conference game compared to everyone else. That doesn't make any sense. And then on top of that, you play every team in your own division. You have seven teams in each division. Only play each team once. So that's six teams. So that leaves you with only two other conference games. And guess what? Of the other seven teams in the other division that's not your own, you play one of those every year. And then the other team is on a six-team rotating schedule. So for those that are out there listening, if you sign up, let's say your son goes to play football at Arkansas, outside of Missouri, there's going to be one school in the SEC East that you will not play. Same goes for LSU. You play Florida every year. There's going to be one school, if you're a five-year player even, that you will not play unless you're in the championship game. That makes no sense. And especially for LSU, that has been a program that has been great for a long time, over a decade. The Florida Gators have been great outside of a few years for over a decade. These two have unfairly had to play each other every year, while Alabama gets to play Tennessee, which hasn't been good for a long time every year. It's unfair. It's unfair. And it's not just Alabama. It's all the other teams as well.
Yeah, it's just absolutely absurd. And you know what? I know Alabama's benefiting from this because Tennessee's been terrible, but you can't blame Alabama. They're the only school on record right now, Carter, that says let's go to a nine-game schedule. They're the only ones. Yep. Coach Saban only is the only one.
The only one a few years ago. In fact, they had a vote, I think it was 3 years ago at SEC League meetings, and I kid you not, it went 13-1 in favor of keeping the schedule the way it was. And the thing is about that, if you're an SEC coach, you want to leave it an eight-game schedule because it makes it easier to get the six wins. You could schedule an extra cupcake. That's one less conference game. And also, what Greg Sankey's been saying in every press conference, why should we change something when we've been in the playoff every single year? Heck, we even got two teams in the playoff last year. So guess what? He ain't going to change it unless you do something about it. So in one way or another, you need to move the conference schedule to a nine-game conference schedule like all the other Power 5 schools. The SEC phrase, it just means more. Well, if it means more, why don't you give us more? And then on top of that, you need to get rid of the permanent cross-division rival. I think we can live just fine with that LSU playing Florida every year and Alabama playing Tennessee. Trust me, I like LSU playing Florida every year. It's a great competitive football game. And I understand the tradition for Alabama, Tennessee, and Auburn, Georgia. That doesn't make it fair, and it doesn't make it right.
Carter Bryant's here on The Last Lap, at Carter the Power on Twitter. He's a comedian, also covers the SEC and has a radio show, 107.1 FM and 1400 AM in South Arkansas. And I believe that the rest of the country who just – they're terrible with their SEC takes a lot of the time. But, Carter, I kind of feel like they're catching on to this ruse that is, like you just said, the eight-game schedule so you can pad those non-conference wins like Alabama does with the Citadel and a couple directional schools and a terrible Louisville team. And I'm not just trying to blast Alabama here because, again, they're the only ones on the record saying change it. But I think the rest of the country and even the selection committee is slowly catching on to this ruse here.
And guess what? We don't fully know if they are or not because, I mean, Alabama did get the benefit of the doubt over Ohio State last year. And, you know, it's one of those things, like you look at Louisville. When Alabama scheduled Louisville, they were obviously a heck of a lot better team than what they are now. So I defend Alabama. I mean, they play tough non-conference games, but they always play them first game of the year. Nick Saban trusts all that time to prepare to get ready for that non-conference game, and it's always a neutral sider. He knows Alabama fans are going to travel well. So it's one of those things where, you know, it always seems like you're just singling out Alabama, but it's the entire conference. It's not really even an LSU bias thing. And guess what? The best thing about this, Seth, is that the consumer wins. We get more SEC football. We get more competitive games. That's great. That's a great thing.
And Carter, think about Jimbo. I said this today. You don't think Jimbo and part of his decision to spurn LSU when he was asked and go to Texas A&M, he didn't see the schedule and say, okay, A&M, I got to face the behemoth that is South Carolina every year. LSU, you got that bloodbath against Florida every year. You can't convince me that didn't play into his decision.
It did. I mean, scheduling plays into everything, I mean, especially in college football where a loss means more than anything. And trust me, LSU, I mean, imagine if they were playing Vanderbilt instead of Florida last week. They'd probably win. And there wouldn't be all this pressure on this one Georgia game. If LSU loses this Georgia game, guess what? They're out of the playoff hunt altogether that quickly, 2 weeks in a row, because LSU's schedule was doomed from the get-go. We didn't expect them to win against Auburn and Miami. I don't think many people had LSU winning both of those games. And playing the schedule that LSU plays, with Florida being the permanent cross-division rival, and drawing Georgia. Now, to further our point on what we've been talking about, here's the thing about Georgia. Georgia won't be in Tiger Stadium until 12 years from now. Think that.
The same
conference, 12 years from now.
I have a few gray hairs, Carter. I'm gonna be fully gray by the time they come back. Hold that thought. We got a little 60-second break here, and then I want to get your full thoughts on this Georgia game coming up. Complete absurdity. Talking a little SEC and LSU with Carter Bryant, host of the Carter Bryant Show on 107.1 FM in South Arkansas, at Carter the Power. He's also a comedian. Check his Twitter for some Drew Brees awesomeness coming very soon. Carter, LSU against Georgia here, and it's been a very long time, very, very long time since LSU was this big of home dogs against a non-Alabama team, and here they are, 7.5-point underdogs at home. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair for LSU being the underdog. I'd actually have it a little bit lower. I think it's going to be a close game. The question that LSU fans want to be answered, how much of a chance do you give LSU to win this game? And I give them about a 35 to 40% chance. I mean, Georgia's a complete football team. They work in different aspects of their offense. They're really good with the play action. And you look at all the talent that Georgia lost defensively. They lost Thompson up the middle, Lorenzo Carter off the edge, Roquan Smith, either him or Devin White last year, the best linebacker in the SEC. And then offensively, obviously they lost a big running back tandem from last year, and they really haven't missed a beat. Now, this is their toughest game of the year coming up, so we'll see how they go. We'll see how things go then. It's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. I think LSU, for the most part, matches up well with them. I think their receivers can make plays down the field against the defensive backs. And also got to keep this in mind, LSU's offensive tackle play, which was abysmal against Florida, will be a lot better. Guess what? Georgia doesn't have the same level of edge pressure as they did last year. I think LSU's offensive line will play better. They were not that great, especially in bad pass rushing situations against Florida. I think that improves, and I think because of that, it's going to be a close game.
Sounds like you're still picking Georgia, though, huh, Carter?
Yeah, I give Georgia a slight edge just because they have an advantage. I think pretty much everywhere on the field. I don't know a position group, maybe outside of receiver, that I like better. I give LSU secondary a little bit of an edge, but we'll see. I mean, it's hostile. I mean, Tiger Stadium's going to be rocking. I do think this. I do think LSU, albeit they didn't play unbelievable against Florida, the box score was actually dead even. Total yards, Florida was only about a 20-yard advantage. Time of possession was pretty rock solid even. Turnovers was even until the final minute of the game when LSU was trying to tie it. I mean, a bad call here, a bad call there, maybe Ed Orgeron being a little bit more aggressive on fourth down. LSU possibly wins that football game last week in the Swamp. So I don't think it's throw everything out for the season. I think LSU has a chance to win this game. I give Georgia a slight edge in this one. I think I see about a 31-24 game in favor of the Dogs.
There we go. Carter Bryant, it's on the record. Save the tape, Logan. Save the tape. Carter, it's always fun, man. Oh, by the way, I got to ask you, have you seen A Star Is Born yet?
No, I did not. I will have seen it by next week. It's been It's been busy. We were going to go tonight, but shameless plug, I'm dropping a Drew Brees skit tomorrow on the Twitter.com. Make sure you follow me there. And Seth, we'll talk to you next week.
Later. All right, we'll talk. I want a full Stars Born report. I'm going to see it for the third time tomorrow morning.
Whoa, okay, man.
Yeah, so I'm all in. All right, Carter Bryant, at Carter the Power. Check that Twitter for his Drew Brees drop tomorrow. Thanks, Carter. We'll take a break here. Coming back with Zach Strief. And not Zach Strief, sorry. It's Bobby Hebert and Drew Brees. A little QB to QB. Coming back, I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap. Welcome back to the program, as promised. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. They had their weekly chat, QB to QB, with the new NFL passing king, Drew Brees. Here's that interview. All right, that was Drew Brees earlier today with Bobby Hebert. A little QB to QB, the new NFL's all-time passing yardage leader again. Congrats to Drew. We will take our final break of the program, coming back with a final update on our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. Which Saints offense was better, the 2011 offense or this year's offense? You can still cast your vote, WWL.com, radio.com app. We'll update that. And a moment of Zen, little Major League Baseball playoffs as the league championship series are set. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap. Moment of Zen here in just a second to close the show. I want to thank Logan Falgut and Master Control, Diane Newman, our program director, Todd Manessis, our assistant program director, Tim Zimmer for helping book the show, and also our guest, Carter Bryant, Ralph Michaels, and Larry Holder today. You can find the podcast only website right now, WWL.com. Logan, real quick, final opinion poll update.
2011 offense at 52% and this year's offense at 48%.
All right, which Saints offense was better? That was our poll. Thanks to everybody who voted. I'm Seth Dunlap. So long. We hand it off to Beyond Reality Radio and leave you, as we always do with our Moment of Zen. Here's a compilation of some AL playoff highlights. Red Sox, Astros in the ALCS.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.